Hey, welcome in. I'm Jay Binkley with my character concerns compadre, Chris Unocero. Great to see you. Haven't seen you much this week, my friend.
Not at all. It's been a while.
What is this, like Love Line or something?
No. You probably won't get the reference, but there's probably some people in the text line listening heard about that recent rap beef with Kendrick and and Drake, and they'll probably know what this is.
They'll probably know what the beef is.
Yeah, they'll know what this reference is too.
Anyway, Chris and I in here tonight for tonight's show. I'll be back in here tomorrow morning with Bob, but plenty to talk about. Ron Kopp, lead analyst at ArrowheadPride.com, joins at 7:30. Talk a little Royals, a lot of Chiefs, maybe some stadiums. There's a lot of things going on. What's going on with you, Chris?
It's been a long, busy work week. Obviously, we had a busy weekend here.
Well, you took off like 2 days for the draft, man.
I did.
Living the American dream. Now you got to catch up.
I don't know if I was living the American dream.
You were living the draft dream.
It was a lot of fun, but it took a lot out of me. So,
well, we had, 5 hours of coverage Thursday. A week ago from the 9th. 6 Friday, 4 Saturday, 2.5 Sunday about the NFL draft. And then we did our podcast on Monday. We did the podcast on Monday that we released on Tuesday. So a lot of draft stuff from us. We were just not done. We had to do Mondays.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we had to finish it off, do a little recap here, and, get you guys set up for the post-draft. And, we'll be back when the mandatories happen a month and a half from now.
Rookie minicamp is taking place for the Chiefs starting on the 4th through the 6th. I believe the 4th is what, Saturday?
Yeah.
If I'm getting my dates here right.
Right. 4th through the 6th will be Saturday through Monday.
People have been waiting for the NFL schedule release. That's the next big thing to happen in the NFL. So when you find out when your primetime games are.
Yeah, now everybody's just kind of sitting on waiting for that opener for the Chiefs.
Waiting on the opener, we'll get into that because I do want to discuss that tonight, have a conversation about that. But the bottom line is last year was May 11th. That was when the schedule was released. That was on a Thursday. They like doing these things on Thursday. So my best guess, Chris, and keep in mind it is only a guess at this point. It's just kind of fun at this point. When is the schedule going to be released? I have been a fan of this for some time. Back when we had our old PD, I once talked him into letting me come in after the Royals game.
You love to boast about this.
Well, but then it became popular,
you
love
to pat yourself up. Yeah,
I was on the schedule release.
It was my idea.
It wasn't my idea, but I was on the edge. And Pete Sweeney came in here with me on that as well. So the week of the 13th, 16th is that Thursday. So my guess, Chris, would be the 16th for the schedule release.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. I mean, at this point now, we've got the draft. You do it a couple weeks after that, about a month before mandatories happen for most of the teams there. Yeah, it's a good time to do that.
Find out 6 primetime games, what I'd be expecting from the Chiefs.
Yeah, somewhere in that 6 to 7 range, I would guess. And that's just to count like the night games. That doesn't count like the 3:25 primetime games that they'll most likely also probably have somewhere in that 6 to 7 range as well.
Over under on noon games. I'll set it at 1.5.
No, it'll be higher than that. I would set the number at like 5.5.
Last year, because of the Christmas Day game, that shouldn't count because it was a special day. But it was just one noon game during the season.
Yeah, I would very much say that, at the beginning, they moved some of those games around, but at the beginning of the season, there was more than one. I would say probably at least for the start, probably 5.
And there's some attractive primetime games there at Buffalo, Cincinnati at home, Baltimore at home, the Houston game. We'll get into that. Where I feel the Chiefs will play on Thursday night, we'll talk about that in just a little bit. But first of all, Chris, Royals off tonight. They set a record for victories in the month of April. They've got 19 wins now. Only, 3 teams in the American League, a better record than the Royals, sitting at exactly 20 wins. Baltimore, 20. The Royals are right there with Baltimore. They let that one slip away, that rain delay game that we sat here and waited on that. The Yankees have 20 wins as well. Cleveland sitting there with 20 wins as well, even though Bieber's gone for the year. And there's the Royals sitting with 19 wins. Detroit sitting right behind him at 18. Minnesota at 17. This is a very competitive division all of a sudden, the Central. But for the Royals to be sitting right here, Chris, and I know they've had some troubles with the bats lately. Pitching has kept them in it. one of the best pitching staffs all around in Major League Baseball. I think it's ninth in relief now. That would go up without the Will Smith numbers earlier this year. Around third for the starters for the Kansas City Royals. Salvador Perez is leading in essentially every category in the American League. Home runs, RBI, OPS, you name it. He's crushing it. He's killing it. It's fun to watch. They're going to be honoring the 2014 team for 10 years here on May 16th. And, well, Salvador Perez still playing, and that should shock nobody.
I think it's a lot of fun just because, like, you look at their run differential and, you know, best in baseball, and they're just out here taking care of business. And, I mean, right now, they, you know, they still got work to do as far as, like, improving the bats. And, you know, right now, you know, with the injury to, like, Alec Marsh, you got to deal with some injuries there. You still got to figure out your bullpen and, you know, get some more consistency out of those middle guys. But, yeah, I really like what the Royals are doing this year. It's a lot of fun because, you know, generally right about this time, they fall out of contention. At this point now, it's generally decided, yeah, okay, this done.
Move on the Ricky mini camp at this point.
Yeah, let's.
Oh, and the Chiefs doing the draft.
Yeah, it's more so draft talk and whatnot. And I feel like, I mean, certainly
it still is.
It's easier for the daytime hosts here because, you know, it could be a little tough talking about sports here when the baseball team's really bad and you're just kind of waiting around and coming up with topics for football. And so it is really cool that you have a team that looks like they're going to be competitive pretty deep into the season, if not towards, you know, even through the entirety and into the playoffs. So it's a lot of fun for us. It's a lot of fun for the listeners. And I certainly expect they continue this up. Then they, you know, there will be a lot of people out there at the K this summer.
Well, that's been a problem too, attendance wise.
Right. And I think it's just because a lot of people are a little skeptical about this because you remember what happened a couple years ago. But I think this is a lot more real than what happened a couple years ago because even though they were, you know, above 500, their run differential was awful. So
I think the 2014, remembering the American League champions, I think that might spark something when you see a lot of those guys come back.
Maybe. I don't know about that. I mean, I don't know if that really sparks anything.
Oh, people love the comebacks when the guys come back. I don't know. They love that.
Are you talking about just for the fan, like for the attendance?
Yeah, for the fans.
I thought you were talking about the team. Yeah,
when they see those guys walking around, you know.
For the attendance, I can see that, especially if the team is still, like, in the same position they're in now where they're competing for the division and, you know, looking to try to make sure they get themselves into one of those top spots. Yeah, I could totally see that.
Right now, they're eighth in baseball with home runs as a team with 33. Of course, that's always fun. The bats will come around. I do believe that. Like, we saw Vinny, you know, go through things, and he came back. I have a lot of faith in Vinny Pasquantino. And Bobby Witt's going to continue to be great. And if he can be great and Salvador Perez can do what he does, give me that third bat to get hot for the Kansas City Royals, and we'll see which direction they go. But Ned Yost used to say that. You know, give me three bats in the lineup.
Yeah, and let's not forget, like, the 2014 team struggled with their bats throughout the season.
That's why Raul had to come in.
Yeah, like if you remember, like Haas had issues staying above 200. Same thing with Moose. Moose got sent down that year. And then it wasn't until they made
the
playoffs.
That's why Vern agreed to go with the dating game.
Yeah. And if you remember, like as soon as they made the playoffs, all that pressure was gone from the team and they started hitting in the playoffs. And I just kind of feel like that's really where you're kind of looking at this position is like, I think if this team is able to stay competitive into the summer, it probably lifts off some of that pressure from the guys when they get to the plate because there's some affirmation like, oh, okay, we're actually kind of good at this. And
it's fun because you get the Chiefs in the back pocket and that's the ace in the hole, and then you can enjoy watching the Royals.
Yeah, I think like just from like a team standpoint, there's a lot of there. You know, when you're in this point now and you're unproven, there has to be a lot of anxiety for everybody in that clubhouse. And I think, you know, staying competitive and keeping things going into the summer kind of take some of that pressure off, especially if, you know, they make it past the trade deadline at the end of July and they're still in contention for the division, still right there. All of a sudden, you know, those last 2 months, they really they could really start to heat up and build their confidence up as they go into October.
I watch them every night. I don't know, you know,
I watch
how
most
intently
nights.
It is, but it's always on. Like, it's always on. It's always on in the background because I think when you play basically every night, I know they didn't tonight and they played in the afternoon yesterday, but they're essentially part of your evening viewing. And really in 14 and 15, it became this. Because I remember taking calls from people who would come home, they'd get their wine or beer or whatever, and they'd sit on the couch and watch. They became a ritual of like brushing your teeth in Kansas City of what to do. But I think there is some anxiety even with the fan base, like the uncertainty of where they're going to play, what's going to happen to the Royals. I think that's in part of it too.
Yeah, I mean, but I don't know if that's going to discourage them from going to the games now. I just think more so than anything, it's anxiety about, is this team for real? Because I think nowadays, like, you watch these games and you kind of feel like you're waiting for that other shoe to drop, because we've seen it happen so many times recently. And I kind of feel like now people are just being a little cautious, a little anxious, but as we get into summer, you know, they got some pretty good promotions there. They're giving away some pretty cool stuff there. I think that might draw people out. I think a competitive baseball team in the summer will draw people out, because I do think people here are kind of starved for that. There's a lot of people here who jumped on the bandwagon back in 2013, 2014, maybe even 2015. And I think a lot of them now are looking for a reason to cheer for the team. They just haven't had it.
Well, as we sit down, they're in the wild card. Like, they're there, and you mentioned the run differential, plus 50. That is killing it as far as Major League Baseball is concerned. They're fun to watch. Will it carry over to training camp? Hey, do you ever have that official date? Like, as I remember in 14 and 15, they were still relevant, man. Like, yeah, the Chiefs were good, and they were making the postseason. Obviously, it was before Mahomes, so it kind of changed things. People have always been interested in, you know, Chiefs camp battles and which direction it goes. And the Royals held people's attention for the most part through that. So it's luxury as a sports fan in this town to have both teams good at the same time.
I mean, I think the moment I think people really buy in is if, once we get to June. I think if we get to June, school's out and everything, a lot more people get a chance to go. And then they go to these games and they see this team continue to win, continue to see them float around the top of the division, float around as like one of the top teams in the league. I think you're going to see a lot more people really starting to buy in. But I think right now, because we're only done with 1 out of 6 months of the season, I think people are still being a little cautious. And I get it. I respect it. But I think more people will come along as the team continues to keep things going and into the summer.
Top text, 913-586-7610, Jay Southland, Tow Service text line. Is this show about the draft? LOL. Well, when you hear Chris and I, obviously it'll come up. We start with the Royals here, so we did that. So, but yes, Chris and
this
I love the
draft.
This
is the most baseball I've talked in the last few,
I know.
Last few months.
You and I have been one-track minds, man. We've been focused on the draft. Yeah. We'll get there.
It came very quickly, too. It was just like here and there in no time.
I think I'll fill in for Vern a couple times later this month, so it'll be all baseball at this point. But if Chris and I are on here, we're going to obviously talk about what was the draft, and people were obviously interested because about 775,000 went to it in Detroit, showing there's a real interest in the draft.
I think that was hilarious. It's like, you think about it, like, they got 750,000 people to show up for this one event. It's like,
to hear names being read.
And it's funny because, like, you look at, like, other countries and, like, you know, how they do their sports, and it's just kind of like a free agency system. And, you know, so the draft is kind of a foreign concept to a lot of them. And yet they're still able to get, like, you know, 750,000 people there to show up for this event. And, you know, tens of millions of people to watch it on TV at home. That's actually really interesting.
Yeah, the ratings on them were good. People like it's the kickoff to the NFL season. It's your team getting players that didn't get in free agency to build the roster. And I love, as I sit back here, we'll get into it, but I just love this draft more and more and more from the Kansas City Chiefs as we even move further and further away from it from last weekend. We'll talk about Thursday night. When they have that conversation, see where you're going, Chris. See where the sentiment is. See where the text line, where you think they'll play that Thursday night opening game. Does it even matter to you? Or does it matter to you? What do you want to see? We'll talk about that next.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
Welcome back. Jay Binkley, Chris Unocero. Does the rain finally stop, man? Is it stopped for now?
I don't know. I've been inside for like 2 hours now.
It's
been off and on, I guess. I don't know. The road still looks wet, so I think it's probably still rained.
Lots of rain. Isn't it nice seeing the Chiefs, one of the best defenses coming back in the NFL, these tweets to come out when you think about how good this defense became? No more arguments like last year, this team going to be a top 10 defense, so we don't have that anymore. By the way, it's official. Kadarius Toney.
I think people might still argue about it without Snead.
They might.
Yeah.
They might. We'll see what happens. But it's official now. Kadarius Toney did not have his fifth-year option.
I mean, who thought that they were going to accept
Nobody.
That? No. If you thought they were going to accept that for $14.3 million, you ain't been watching this game, man.
I mean, the one thing is, you got to catch the football, man. Like, you got to catch it. That's the biggest deal. Does he have the talent? Yeah, he's got a ton of talent, but, man, you've got to be able to catch the football, and it hurt him. It hurt him.
I mean, that and, you know, the stuff he's been saying off the field and, you know, the sneak dissing he's been making on the Chiefs. Like, look, I mean, look, this is just what the game is for him. I think you're just going to have to accept that he's going to get hurt a lot. He's going to get mad and, you know, talk trash on social media. And I just...
His war with Giants fans?
Yeah, and it's just like, look, man, I'm not really interested in it anymore. I think Veach probably isn't interested in it anymore, and Andy as well. And, you know, look, a lot of people got, you know, a little worked up about the stuff that Veach said in the pre-draft presser, which... do you want him to say, yeah, Kadarius Toney drops the ball a lot. He gets hurt all the time. He's not that good. Like,
you got to build everybody up. You never know where you can flip them.
Not smart. So, like, no. I don't know why anybody
Everybody's the greatest, man.
I don't know why anybody got in their feelings about that. Because, no. They're not going to say the obvious part.
No.
Like, even when teams bitch players.
That'd be a bad move. That'd be a bad move strategically to talk trash on anybody.
That's what I'm saying. It's not a good move to do that. You just don't want to talk trash on your players like that. This is not 1970 anymore. That's not how we do business in the NFL. So I just feel like a lot of people, you know, took that stuff too literally. And, you know, I don't think Kadarius Toney's going to play a whole lot, probably more so deeper packages, unless he really kills it in camp and he's able to work his way into the rotation. But I don't see that. I mean, he got hurt on the first damn play that he was out there for in training camp last year.
He was down there at Camp Pat working out. But if he comes in here with a clear mic, this was the place to be, man. I mean, you have two Super Bowl rings with this team. The wide receiver room wasn't set. The Chiefs believed in you going into last year. You heard number one receiver things kind of thrown out there. But anyway, it's official. The fifth-year option, no surprise, it will not be Kadarius Toney. Now, as far as the opening game for the Chiefs, because the world champions play on Thursday night versus another opponent, they asked the people at NFL Network who they thought. Jeff Chedid thought the Ravens. Mark Ross, former personnel guy, said the Texans. Scott Pioli said the Raiders. MJD said the Bengals.
What was this again?
Who they think that they're going to play the Chiefs on the opening game. Like their best guess would be.
Okay.
Judy Batista said the Ravens. I don't even know if I should even read what Carr says, but he says Chargers.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
I'm surprised he didn't say the Saints with his brother.
Yeah, they're not. I mean, they could do the Saints. I think the Saints is a very good possibility, actually.
Because the last 2 years they've gone AFC versus NFC.
Yeah, and I also think, like, if I were one of the other networks, I would want that to be an NFC game to open up. And if I were NBC, I'd want it to be an NFC game opening up. Just because the better matchups, I think, are going to be in the AFC. And so I think you want those matchups to be in prime time on your network and not on the opener, which is going to get great ratings anyways. Like, if they played, the Georgia football team, you know, their backups on Thursday night football there, it would still get 20 million people to watch.
Yeah.
30 million people to watch.
People are going to watch it regardless because the banner is going to be lowered.
Yeah. And, yeah. If they put the Raiders there, it's still going to get watched at an incredible rate. It does not matter because it's the Chiefs. They're the defending Super Bowl, back-to-back Super Bowl champions, and it's football returning for the first time in months. It does not matter.
See, last year I looked at it more strategically. Like, because I thought that, you know, a lot of the Bengals.
Well, yeah, you were doing the stuff with the bank because you wanted to catch the Bengals.
We know how good Andy Reid is in a bye week. And you give him May, June, and July, and August to get ready for that first opponent. So I like that. The Bengals have started off slowly every year. I'm going to, I will give my choice here in a minute. And text line, you can as well, 913-586-7610. Jason McCourty of NFL Network gave his choice who he thinks it should be.
I know dates, but I'm not allowed to tell it, so I can't give you an exact date. So we had topics that we had to come up with. The first game of the season is always the defending champs, but who is Kansas City going to be playing opening night? I took this one. I was like, well, this is an easy one. I'll definitely answer this because I have inside sources. My twin brother, he works for NBC. The game always comes on NBC. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to call up my brother. Who's playing the Chiefs in that game? You think your brother has a little bit of juice. He's in year two. He knew absolutely nothing, had no idea, said he hasn't been clued in. They left him off the emails, off the Zoom calls, off of all of those things. So I'm bringing to you guys my own opinion. I think the Chiefs open up at home against the Houston Texans. I think it's an up-and-coming CJ Stroud against a guy like Patrick Mahomes going for a three-peat. It's the perfect matchup. This Texans team came out of nowhere last year, and they're looking to make more gains this year. You got Stephon Diggs in his first game as a Houston Texan, and you have the Chiefs defending that championship. Truck Kelsey getting new money. Mahomes is back. Everybody is there. I can't wait for the cannons going off, everything going nuts, fireworks, hanging the banner. We cannot wait. Football season, it can't come soon enough.
That's who I would pick, Chris, and I think strategy comes in this as well. You know, you give the Houston Texans, obviously didn't work out last year with Detroit. Thanks, Kadarius Toney, giving the ball to Brian Branch for a pick six. Chris Jones didn't play in that game. Travis Kelce didn't play that game. So, yes, the Chiefs definitely could have won that game. When you look back at it, I want Houston because I think Houston's going to be one of the up-and-coming teams in the AFC. They had a big playoff win last year against Cleveland. I love D'Amico Ryans and what he's doing. And C.J. Stroud appears to be the truth, man. I mean, this guy is a baller, and I know that people wanted it to be Deshaun Watson, and then Josh Allen, and then Joe Burrow. Who's going to be the rival for Patrick Mahomes? Can C.J. Stroud live up to that billing? Don't know if that's exactly fair to him at this point, but the Houston Texans, obviously, you saw their fall when they were up 24 points in the playoffs, the Chiefs, and they've struggled to come back to that point. I would go Houston. I think it gives you a marquee matchup for the NFL, plus it's a team the Chiefs need to be looking at as far as seeding is concerned in the AFC.
I'd rather it be like either the Bucs or the Saints. And the reason why is because I kind of want that matchup with the Texans later when it matters more.
That's a primetime game regardless.
Yeah, so I'm saying. So, like, I want it when it matters more, not, you know, opening week of the season. Like, we don't even know if the Texans really are actually going to be as good as we think they are. So I'd rather us, like, find out, okay, this team's for real. Now they got to play the Chiefs, and now they have to go out and beat them in their place to prove that they actually belong. I think that's a better storyline than, us – you know, waiting for them to go out there and put them out there early, and then it turns out they're actually not as good as we thought they were. I'd rather play it. It doesn't, like, for the ratings, it's not going to matter who they play because it's the Chiefs. It's football coming
Banner
back
night.
After. Yeah, it doesn't matter. So I'd rather they go out and play one of those NFC teams and then save that matchup for later when it's more important because we have some confirmation on how good both these teams are and how important that game is for the rest of the AFC race to get that number one seed.
I think it's going to be imperative. That's why I don't mind at all for Andy Reid to have that extra time against the Houston Texans. I think they're that good. I'd put them up there in that upper tier with the Chiefs. The Chargers are interesting, obviously, because of how close of games they've had with the Chiefs. The Raiders beat them the last time they played. Maybe that game, but it was the first Amazon game, was the Chargers and Chiefs. Obviously, new blood with Jim Harbaugh out there in L.A. Will that make a difference? Will it be
that actually would be compelling, too, is Harbaugh being on there. I think that actually would be a big, compelling story there, too. So I wouldn't discount that as well.
In a big AFC West game, you know, right off the bat.
I mean, it's certainly much bigger for the Chargers than it is for the Chiefs.
100%. Yeah. 100%. We've won the division eight straight years, but can you be that challenger?
I kind of think that they'll probably, because you know the Chiefs usually, like, I don't know, it seems like a tradition, they play the Chargers week two. I kind of feel like they'll probably save that Harbaugh-Chiefs matchup for very early in the season for a primetime game just so they can go out there and hype up the Jim Harbaugh return to the NFL storyline.
But definitely you're going to see it if the NFL wants to make it, you know, CJ versus Patrick, because obviously it wouldn't Deshaun. Text line likes the Texans as well. I'm sold on that. I could see the Chargers being the game as well. But last year, Detroit kind of surprised this. But you know what? Detroit was that up-and-coming team that the NFL wanted to play versus the Chiefs.
Yeah, I like that. And I thought that was a great matchup there. Because
it ended up being great.
Yeah, I think, you know, the big storyline last year was, are the Lions for real this time? Yeah, they got a lot of hype middle of the 22 season, and you know they kind of played spoiler to the Packers there at the end of the season. So, and that was, you know, a start for a good campaign for the Lions. It was a lot of fun to watch them go throughout the season and make it to the NFC Championship game. And you know they had a nice little lead early, and then they choked it away. But I don't know if either the Bucks or the Saints can have that kind of a storyline, but at the end of the day, I think it's more so about showcasing the reigning champion Chiefs than it is about anything. And, you know, I think at that point you can save some of your bigger games for later in this season.
But that'll be primetime. Regardless, there'll be at least a Chargers game on primetime.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, the Ravens are going to be primetime. Bengals probably, unless CBS wins out and it's a 325 matchup.
For what? For which one?
The Bengals or the Ravens.
Oh, CBS is going to get that one.
They'll get one of those, too.
They'll definitely get that Bengals matchup.
Yeah, it's 325.
They'll definitely get that matchup for sure, especially because the Bills kind of seem like they've taken a step back.
That game's in Buffalo, so we'll see what happens. I am curious with Xavier Worthy and the Buffalo Bills. I think that's a nice little storyline. What he'll do since they traded the Chiefs in that draft.
I mean, wherever that's on, that's going to be one of the biggest storylines of that game is Coleman versus Worthy.
But did the Chiefs address their needs or not? We'll discuss that next.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
Welcome back. Jay Binkley, Chris Unocero with you here tonight until 9 o'clock. Chris, I saw this this rendering of a plane, aerospace engineering that could take the plane and put a bubble on top of it with a 360 view. Would you sit up there on top of an airplane in
no.
a bubble?
No, I got a problem with heights, so no.
That would be a problem.
Yeah, I'm good on that.
I'm just curious who'd sit there. You'd have space.
No, I'm good.
Stretch your legs out?
Yeah, I have space in the room I'm in right now to stretch my legs out.
Where do you like to sit best? You an aisle guy?
Window.
Are you window?
Yeah. I could do window, but like if I look down, then I get a little vertigo.
You close the shade?
No, I keep it open. Keep it open. You know, just look out. I just can't look like straight down.
You can't look straight down?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be a problem for heights if you didn't like them. But yeah, I saw those seats and I was like, okay, how much are you going to have to pay to sit in the bubble?
Oh, it's probably a lot. And, you know, people will do it. People will pay for it because, hey, you know, it's something new. Not for me, though.
Not for you. Text line wants the Bucs so they can raise the banner on them because they got to win their Super Bowl against the Chiefs.
I mean, that's a little petty, I guess. I mean,
Bruce Arians is pretty cocky after that, too.
He was. He was feeling himself a little too much. And, you know, then they lose to the Rams in the playoffs. But, like, hey, you should feel like that after you win a championship. Like, you know, hey, you won something. You deserve to talk like that. But, you know, it went away very quickly.
Did you hear Mahomes today? On a podcast,
I mean, he said a few
Logan
things.
Paul.
What he said? What are you like in reference to what?
Next year, New Orleans, we're gonna do it again. Put it on the table.
No way,
we're gonna do it again. I'm telling you now,
the last touchdown.
Well, Broadway Joe, man.
So he was talking about
put it on the board.
He was talking about corn dog there. He wasn't talking about winning. He was talking about corn dog.
They ran basically the same play against the Eagles.
He's saying that you know they're gonna get back to the Super Bowl again.
Yeah, get back there. So I'm good with that, man.
Hey. Which, I mean, throughout his history, every time they've won a Super Bowl, they went back to the Super Bowl the year after that. So, I mean, history is on his side here.
No stranger to the postseason. All right, he was on WWE Raw this past week.
Wait, say that again?
WWE Raw.
Okay, it sounded like you said Roll.
Raw.
Yeah,
Raw. R-A-W.
Yeah.
But he played the role of the heel, right? He played the bad guy, the villain role.
Yeah.
But that's kind of who I know this was a sponsored deal with Prime Energy Drink and all that. The WWE didn't really have anything to do with it.
Which he is an investor in.
Yeah. And so is Logan. So they're in there together in Prime. But the bottom line is, I think he's kind of embracing that role. I mean, he heard it at the Super Bowl when he was talking about, hey, keep those booze up and stuff like that. Like, I think he's embracing that role. Now, people like Mahomes and stuff, but he has taken on that role a little bit around the league. Like, you know, he's the guy you don't want to see. He's kind of taking that villain role on.
I mean, you kind of had to this past season because they had to go on the road and they had to go beat teams at their places. And, you know, when you go on the road and you beat teams at their places, they're not going to like that. And so it absolutely makes sense that you kind of have to embrace it. I mean, Kelce did it for sure at media night, at opening night there, and he's playing to the crowd like, hey, give me some more of them boos. I think that that is exactly where this team needs to be. You kind of have to have that mindset, especially if you want to be successful in the playoffs, because you're going to have to play some road games. We obviously saw it this past year. Chiefs finally played some road games with Mahomes and were incredibly successful because they had that mindset.
I think it was really a redeeming factor for Mahomes' career, just to end that whole nonsense about playing on the road. Hey, if you build up a seed and you end up playing at home, big deal. It's because you put yourself in that position. But statistically, he was better, has been better on the road in his career than at home. And I don't think a lot of people realize just how many more yards he's thrown on the road than at home. But the fact that going to Buffalo and the fact that going to Baltimore and then winning the Super Bowl on neutral turf, it was big for his career. And I definitely think that Buffalo and Baltimore, it's, you know, it's a pelt on the wall for Mahomes. I'm glad he's got that part. Yeah, the whole mindset of him not playing, oh, let's see what he does in the playoffs on the road. Like, that was the one thing that was ended. Patrick Mahomes ended that narrative, and that was one of the best things, I think, from last year.
That's the reason why I was telling people I was looking forward to the playoff run, you know, after the Dolphins game. I was like, I want them to go play Buffalo on the road. I want them to go play Baltimore on the road.
You can thank Tony.
And I was like, you should want them to do that, because all we've heard throughout Mahomes' entire career is, oh, he's never had to play a road game. So, you know, he's never had to go into another team's place and take care of business. And, you know, especially Bengals fans are chirping about it because the Bengals have been very successful on the road in the playoffs. And I was like, okay, well, you know, I mean, be careful what you wish for. And the Bills got exactly what they were asking for, a home game against Mahomes in the playoffs and wide right. And then you go to Baltimore, and Baltimore was chirping the whole time. Justin Tucker was trying to go out there and mess with Mahomes and Kelce for off top there. And, you know, we had the league's MVP, and he scored 10 points, and he turned the ball over a whole hell of a lot more than he should have in that game. And he was just trying to chuck it deep the whole time. And you see the kind of situation that Mahomes is in, where he goes out and basically proves everyone wrong and has no problem doing that in those big moments. I savored that moment when, you know, you look at all the fans disappointed and they think they finally got Mahomes, and then he shows them why they don't. That to me was the most fun playoff run that I've had during this era, because you finally prove people, like, there's no more excuses anymore. Like, that was the number one thing for me, is let's get rid of all the excuses. And I think the Chiefs did.
Yeah, get rid of the excuses. And it was a hell of a run when you think about playing the teams they did, with the
other than the superficial ones, like
the points scored, the silly ones.
Other than the silly ones, like the refs, or it's rigged and the refs are trying to help them win, which there's no amount of winning the Chiefs can do to
get
past
that. They led the NFL for a time there,
right,
halfway through the season.
They very much were not at all benefited by the calling this year from officials. It was terrible.
They had to play the number two, the number three, the number four, and the number six scoring offense in the NFL in the playoffs. Pretty good. And as far as defense, they played the number one, three, and four scoring defenses. The only reason they didn't play two is because that was themselves. Going into last year, remember, this is just during the regular season, right? Mahomes has played 49 road games, 47 home. He's 36-11 at home. He's 38-11 on the road. His completion percentage at home is 64.8. Completion percentage on the road is 68. He's thrown for 13,391 yards at home. He's thrown for 15,333 yards. So a couple thousand there, just different in two games played on the road. His quarterback rating is 99 at home, 107 on the road. These were numbers that were never brought up. These were yards, 119 touchdowns on the road, 100 at home. So he has 19 more touchdowns on the road than at home. This was going into the play. This is just regular season. Like, this is how much better he's been on the road than at home. But these numbers were never brought up.
Well, because it was never about that. It was always about, you know, how people feel. It was never a statistical argument. It was just, oh, well, he's just benefited from, you know, winning at home. And look, that's just how sports fans are going to be.
That was the narrative.
Because sports fans are going to try to find some sort of logic to justify their emotions. And, you know, that's just how it's going to be. Unless you, even if you give them those facts, they don't care, because they're going to make whatever excuse they can to work around it. So that stuff was never going to get brought up anyways.
He's thrown for 1,642 yards more on the road than at home in just two games. So it's like 800 yards a game difference. He's just wired this way. So I'm glad that that narrative ended for Patrick Mahomes. We talked to Ron Kopp at 7:30, get his opinions on the draft and the way he's feeling on it. But now, because he's been doing all those great stories over at Arrowhead Pride on the Chiefs draft selections. But Ned Yost joined Fesco in the morning. I'm just one day late for that because I'll be there tomorrow with him. I wasn't there for Ned Yost today. But Ned Yost, obviously, a big part of that 2014 team that's going to be honored May 16th. He joined Fesco in the morning. He made an interesting comparison to Bobby Witt Jr. Next.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
Walking down the road. Welcome back, Jay Binkley, Chris Unocero. NFL Network already doing the propaganda as well, Chris. Will the Chiefs make it a three-peat?
That's going to be the big story of the season.
Like, buckle up, because the haters will be out here. I mean, the haters, they didn't go anywhere. Teams had their chance to beat the Chiefs. They had their chance to beat them, and they didn't. And now the Chiefs are going to come in with a great defense. They've added some pieces to the offense. They're a better football team than they were last year. So they had their chance. They missed it. What'd they say to Omar Nawire? They swung at the king and they missed?
If you come at the king, you best
come at the king,
miss.
You best not miss.
And they missed.
They missed. They missed multiple times. And yes, congratulations to the Buffalo Bills that win during the regular season, but fail to win in the postseason. And they finally got their home playoff game versus Chiefs, right? They finally got it.
I know, right? It's just, that's always been my thing about like the losses to like the Bills during the regular season. Like those are like shoulder shrug moments
to
me.
Who cares?
Because it's like, you know, I mean, you've got to beat us in the playoffs still. So like it's like for me as a fan, if they lose that game, okay. You look, do it in the playoffs. And the Bills had the best chance they've ever had in their run here with Allen versus Mahomes, and they failed to live up. So, I mean, at this point now, I mean, I know like people are like, oh, well, you know, is it still a rivalry? I still think it is, but it's very one-sided right now. And I think that right now, if you're the Bills, like they're going to be really desperate to try to right that wrong from the last three times they played him in the playoffs.
Well, in the Bills, they hope the Chiefs in the draft, and they sent Stephon Diggs to Houston. Whether Diggs still has anything left or not, it's still the fact they sent him to a team that's an up-and-coming team in the AFC. Thank you, Buffalo. What the hell are they doing? They're not looking at the big picture.
I mean, I think they are, but I think the problem, though, is like, is this the best decision for now? And maybe that's like, hey, we're making moves that'll help us down the road. Maybe they kind of forced a rebuild the same way the Chiefs had to in 22.
They're sitting there with that money they have to pay them still.
Right, yeah. But like my thing is like, I think for them, it's like, A, the relationship was damaged because, you know, he's been a little tough to deal with around there because he's not happy with the direction of the franchise. And, you know, at the same time, you know, you're not, at this point, late in the season, he really didn't impress you. And then in the playoffs, he had opportunities to help you, and he didn't. So I kind of get both sides on the equation there. It just kind of seems like you're forcing things a little bit with this whole rebuild.
Some more Chiefs NFL coming up in a little bit. But Ned Yost, I don't know if you heard that interview with Ned.
I did not.
Fesco in the morning. Ned was always fun, man. Ned was often misunderstood, in my opinion, as well. I mean, the guy had a team, he let him play. Like, he's an old school guy, but he let the team, you know, kind of be who they are. And one thing I always respected about him, Chris, he took the bullets. You saw it out there many times. Like, he'd go to the press conference, he'd kind of feel what the tenor was, and he would take the blame. If anybody got caught stealing, he'd take the blame for it. He just had that knack of always taking one for the team.
Well, he knew that people were going to blame him anyway, so it was like,
so he just took it.
And like he was also like, that's what your job is to take the blame, because fans are irrational and they're going to try to point the finger at the coach all the time, even if it's the players that are more the reason why the team's not winning. It's just how sports fans are. So yeah, it's going to happen. And you know, it's one of the reasons why I've told people all the time, like, you know, in most sports, coaching can be a tad bit overrated. Like, I think at the end of the day, the players decide the game more than the coaches do. And I think especially in baseball. I mean, Vern says it all the time. Like, you know, a manager decides maybe five games either way, you know, the entire year. And it's up to the players to go out there and take.
You'd have space.
No, I'm good.
Stretch your legs out?
Yeah, I have space in the room I'm in right now to stretch my legs out.
Where do you like to sit best? You an aisle guy?
Window.
Are you window?
Yeah. I could do window, but like if I look down, then I get a little vertical.
You close the shade?
No, I keep it open. I keep it open. You know, just look out. I just can't look like straight down.
You can't look straight down.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be a problem for heights if you didn't like them. But yeah, I saw those seats and I was like, okay, how much are you going to have to pay to sit in the bubble?
Oh, it's probably a lot. And, you know, people will do it. People will pay for it because, hey, you know, it's something new. Not for me, though.
Not for you. Text line wants the Bucs so they can raise the banner on them because they got to win their Super Bowl against the Chiefs.
I mean, that's a little petty, I guess. I mean,
Bruce Arians is pretty cocky after that, too.
He was feeling himself a little too much, and, you know, then they lose to the Rams in the playoffs. But, like, hey, you should feel like that after you win a championship. Like, you know, hey, you won something. You deserve to talk like that. But, you know, it went away very quickly.
Did you hear Mahomes today? On a podcast, yeah,
I mean, he
with
said a few
Logan
things.
Paul.
What he said? What are you like in reference to what?
Next year, New Orleans, we're gonna do it again. Put it on the table.
No way,
we're gonna do it again. I'm telling you now,
the last touchdown.
What Broadway Joe, man?
So he was talking about
put it on the board.
He was talking about corn dog there. He wasn't talking about winning. He was talking about corn dog.
They ran basically the same play against the Eagles.
He's saying that you know they're gonna get back to the Super Bowl again.
Yeah, get back there. So I'm good with that, man.
Hey. Which, I mean, throughout his history, every time they've won a Super Bowl, they went back to the Super Bowl the year after that. So, I mean, history is on his side here.
No stranger to the postseason. All right, he was on WWE Raw this past week. And
wait, say that again? Say that again?
WWE Raw.
Okay, you said, it sounded like you said Roll.
Raw.
Yeah, Raw.
R-A-W.
Yeah.
But he played the role of the heel, right? He played the bad guy, the villain role.
Yeah.
But that's kind of who I know this was a sponsored deal with Prime Energy Drink and all that. The WWE didn't really have anything to do with it.
Which he is an investor in.
Yeah. And so is Logan. So they're in there together in Prime. But the bottom line is, I think he's kind of embracing that role. I mean, he heard it at the Super Bowl when he was talking about, hey, keep those booze up and stuff like that. Like, I think he's embracing that role. Now, people like Mahomes and stuff, but he has taken on that role a little bit around the league. Like, you know, he's the guy you don't want to see. He's kind of taking that villain role on.
I mean, you kind of had to this past season because they had to go on the road and they had to go beat teams at their places. And, you know, when you go on the road and you beat teams at their places, they're not going to like that. And so it absolutely makes sense that you kind of have to embrace it. I mean, Kelsey did it for sure at media night, at opening night there, and he's playing to the crowd like, hey, give me some more of them booze. I think that is exactly where this team needs to be. You kind of have to have that mindset, especially if you want to be successful in the playoffs, because you're going to have to play some road games. We obviously saw it this past year. Chiefs finally played some road games with Mahomes and were incredibly successful because they had that mindset.
I think it was really a redeeming factor from Mahomes' career just to end that whole nonsense about playing on the road. Hey, if you build up a seed and you end up playing at home, big deal. It's because you put yourself in that position. But statistically, he was better, has been better on the road in his career than at home. And I don't think a lot of people realize just how many more yards he's thrown on the road than at home. But the fact that going to Buffalo and the fact that going to Baltimore and then winning the Super Bowl on neutral turf, it was big for his career. And I definitely think that Buffalo and Baltimore, it's a pelt on the wall for Mahomes. I'm glad he's got that part. Yeah, the whole mindset of him not playing, let's see what he does in the playoffs on the road. Like, that was the one thing that was ended. Patrick Mahomes ended that narrative, and that was one of the best things, I think, from last year.
That's the reason why I was telling people I was looking forward to the playoff run, you know, after the Dolphins game. I was like, I want them to go play Buffalo on the road. I want them to go play Baltimore on the road.
You can thank Tony.
And I was like, you should want them to do that because all we've heard throughout Mahomes' entire career is, oh, he's never had to play a road game. So, you know, he's never had to go into another team's place and take care of business. And, you know, especially Bengals fans are chirping about it because the Bengals have been very successful on the road in the playoffs. And I was like, okay, well, you know, I mean, be careful what you wish for. And the Bills got exactly what they were asking for, a home game against Mahomes in the playoffs and wide right. And then you go to Baltimore, and Baltimore was chirping the whole time. Justin Tucker was trying to go out there and mess with Mahomes and Kelsey for off top there. And, you know, we had the league's MVP, and he scored 10 points, and he turned the ball over a whole hell of a lot more than he should have in that game. And he was just trying to chuck it deep the whole time. And you see the kind of situation that Mahomes is in, where he goes out and basically proves everyone wrong and has no problem doing that in those big moments. I savored that moment when, you know, you look at all the fans disappointed and they think they finally got Mahomes, and then he shows them why they don't. That to me was the most fun playoff run that I've had during this era, because you finally prove people, like, there's no more excuses anymore. Like, that was the number one thing for me, is let's get rid of all the excuses. And I think the Chiefs did.
Yeah, get rid of the excuses. And it was a hell of a run when you think about playing the teams they did, with the
other than the superficial ones, like the silly ones, other than the silly ones, like the refs, or it's rigged and the refs are trying to help them win, which there's no amount of winning the Chiefs can do to
they
to
led
get
the
past
NFL
that.
for a time there,
right,
halfway they, through the season.
They very much were not at all benefited by the calling this year from officials. It was terrible.
They had to play the number 2, the number 3, the number 4, and the number 6 scoring offense in the NFL in the playoffs. Pretty good. And as far as defense, they played the number 1, 3, and 4 scoring defenses. The only reason they didn't play 2 is because that was themselves. Going into last year, remember, this is just during the regular season, right? Mahomes has played 49 road games, 47 home. He's 36-11 at home. He's 38-11 on the road. His completion percentage at home is 64.8. Completion percentage on the road is 68. He's thrown for 13,391 yards at home. He's thrown for 15,333 yards. So a couple thousand there, just different in two games played on the road. His quarterback rating is 99 at home, 107 on the road. These were numbers that were never brought up. These were yards, 119 touchdowns on the road, 100 at home. So he has 19 more touchdowns on the road than at home. This was going into the play. This is just regular season. Like, this is how much better he's been on the road than at home. But these numbers were never brought up.
Well, because it was never about that. It was always about, you know, how people feel. It was never a statistical argument. It was just, oh, well, he's just benefited from, you know, winning at home. And look, that's just how sports fans are going to be.
That was the narrative.
Because sports fans are going to try to find some sort of logic to justify their emotions. And, you know, that's just how it's going to be. Unless you, even if you give them those facts, they don't care, because they're going to make whatever excuse they can to work around it. So that stuff was never going to get brought up anyways.
He's thrown for 1,642 yards more on the road than at home in just two games. So it's like 800 yards a game difference. He's just wired this way. So I'm glad that narrative ended for Patrick Mahomes. We talked to Ron Kopp at 7:30, get his opinions on the draft and the way he's feeling on it. But now, because he's been doing all those great stories over at Arrowhead Pride on the Chiefs draft selections. But Ned Yost joined Fesco in the morning. I'm just one day late for that because I'll be there tomorrow with him. I wasn't there for Ned Yost today. But Ned Yost, obviously, a big part of that 2014 team that's going to be honored May 16th. He joined Fesco in the morning. He made an interesting comparison to Bobby Witt Jr. Next.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
Chewing on a piece of grass, walking down the road. Welcome back, Jay Binkley, Chris Unocero. NFL Network already doing the propaganda as well, Chris. Will the Chiefs make it a three-peat?
That's going to be the big story of the season.
Like, buckle up, because the haters will be out here. I mean, the haters, they didn't go anywhere. The teams had their chance to beat the Chiefs. They had their chance to beat them, and they didn't. And now the Chiefs are going to come in with a great defense. They've added some pieces to the offense. They're a better football team than they were last year. So they had their chance. They missed it. What'd they say to Omar Nawire? They swung at the king and they missed?
If you come at the king,
you best not miss.
And they missed.
They missed multiple times. And yes, congratulations to the Buffalo Bills that win during the regular season but fail to win in the postseason. And they finally got their home playoff game versus Chiefs, right? They finally got it.
I know, right? It's just, that's always been my thing about like the losses to like the Bills during the regular season. Like those are like shoulder shrug moments
like,
to
who
me.
Cares?
Cause it's like, you know, I mean, you've got to beat us in the playoffs still. So like, it's like for me as a fan, if they lose that game, okay, you look, do it in the playoffs. You know, and the Bills had the best chance they've ever had in their run here with Allen versus Mahomes, and they failed to live up. So, I mean, at this point now, I mean, I know like people like, oh, you know, is it still a rivalry? I still think it is, but it's very one-sided right now. And I think that right now, if you're the Bills, like they're going to be really desperate to try to right that wrong from the last three times they played him in the playoffs.
Well, in the Bills, they hope the Chiefs in the draft, and they sent Stephon Diggs to Houston. Whether Diggs still has anything left or not, it's still the fact they sent him to a team that's an up-and-coming team in the AFC. Thank you, Buffalo. What the hell are they doing? They're not looking at the big picture.
I mean, I think they are, but I think the problem, though, is like, is this the best decision for now? And maybe that's like, hey, we're making moves that'll help us down the road. Maybe they kind of forced a rebuild the same way the Chiefs had to in 22.
They're sitting there with that money they have to pay them still.
Right, yeah. But like my thing is like, I think for them, it's like, A, the relationship was damaged because, you know, he's been a little tough to deal with around there because he's not happy with the direction of the franchise. And, you know, at the same time, you know, you're not, at this point, late in the season, he really didn't impress you. And then in the playoffs, he had opportunities to help you, and he didn't. So I kind of get both sides on the equation there. It just kind of seems like you're forcing things a little bit with this whole rebuild.
Some more Chiefs NFL coming up in a little bit. But Ned Yost, I don't know if you heard that interview with Ned.
I did not.
Fesco in the morning. Ned was always fun, man. Ned was often misunderstood, in my opinion, as well. I mean, the guy had a team, he let him play. Like, he's an old school guy, but he let the team, you know, kind of be who they are. And one thing I always respected about him, Chris, he took the bullets. You saw it out there many times. Like, he'd go to the press conference, he'd kind of feel what the tenor was, and he would take the blame. If anybody got caught stealing, he'd take the blame for it. He just had that knack of always taking one for the team.
Well, he knew that people were going to blame him anyway, so it was like,
so he just took it.
And like, he was also like, that's what your job is to take the blame, because fans are irrational and they're going to try to point the finger at the coach all the time, even if it's the players that are more the reason why the team's not winning. It's just how sports fans are. So yeah, it's going to happen. And you know, it's one of the reasons why I've told people all the time, like, you know, in most sports, coaching can be a tad bit overrated. Like, I think at the end of the day, the players decide the game more than the coaches do. And I think especially in baseball. I mean, Vern says it all the time. Like, you know, a manager decides maybe five games either way, you know, the entire year. And it's up to the players to go out there and take care of the results. So, yeah, I certainly, you know, understood why he took those bullets for those guys.
It's what he did, and guys respect that when their manager does stuff like that. And Andy Reid does that a lot on the football side, to be honest with you.
Oh, yeah, he hops in front of bullets in front of all his players.
He will, man. He'll find out
like the secret
criticism
service
is, and he'll jump right in front of
it. Yeah, it's my fault, yeah.
But guys respect that because you're like, oh, come on, Andy, it's not you. But he takes the blame.
Remember he took the heat for what was it, Matt Nagy, when he called that playoff game against the Titans?
He always
he's like, oh, I called the bad plays in the second half. Like,
what the hell are you going to say to him? He's number two all time in postseason wins.
He's not gonna be like, yeah, it was Matt Nagy's fault. Like, no, he took the blame for it.
Highest paid coach in the NFL. He can rest fine.
Yeah, he'll be all right.
But this is who Ned compared Bobby Witt Jr. to.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, he's gonna be, and I always told
Bobby,
you know,
Whittier,
like when I would go see Bobby Cox, I'd say, Bobby, we got a kid I think that is gonna be like Chipper Jones. You know, he's an elite player. He's gonna be a guy that's gonna change our organization. We're gonna be able to build around him. And you know, it was funny to, you know, Bobby's like, what's the kid's name? And I said, Bobby Witt Jr. Remember that name. He's going to be a big piece to our success here in the coming future. So, you know, he's played out to be that for sure.
All right. Chipper Jones now in the Baseball Hall of Fame. Ned spent time with both Chipper and with Bobby Witt Jr. some high praise he slung out there at Bobby Witt Jr. But you know what? I happen to agree with it. I mean, hopefully you're thinking, okay, can Bobby Witt Jr. take it another level than Chipper Jones did? But Chipper Jones is a hell of a player.
That's very hard to do. You know, make the Baseball Hall of Fame, have a career batting average of over 300, and you know, have, you know, over 460 home runs. That's tough, but I think Bobby is one of the few guys that has the talent to do it in the league. I mean, look at the fact that, you know, he came into the league at such a young age. I mean, a lot of those guys will spend 4 or 5 years in the minors, and
yeah, they've been getting there faster now. You know, teams aren't waiting.
Not most of the time. Most of the time, teams are waiting because
elite players
are
getting here quick.
Well, yeah, because they're ready. But like, teams aren't going to force him up here. It's just like, you know, hey, this guy's ready. And I think you look at Bobby's development. He's one of the few guys that was ready at such a young age. Was he in the minors for 2 years? I'm not even sure if it was that long. And you know,
Which is crazy for a high school player.
Right, exactly. Usually the high school guys tend to be in there longer because there's a lot of maturation for their game and for their personality. So the fact that he was able to come up at such a young age is really impressive. And yeah, I mean, you come up that early in your career, you got some sort of talent, some sort of skill there. So I don't think it's crazy, but like, people have to understand how hard it is to do what Chipper Jones did in his career. That is an incredibly difficult accomplishment.
Oh.
To hit over 300, to flirt with 500 home runs. There's not that many players in baseball that have done that.
He's a world champion and NL MVP.
Right.
By the way, he played 2 years in the minors, Bob. He played rookie. His first year, the second year, was mixed between AA and AAA.
So basically a year and a half, because he was a rookie. He only played half of that minor league season since he was drafted that year.
It's crazy. It's crazy just how good he is. He's fun to watch, man. I mean, this is one of those guys you watch at the plate. I mean, he gives you that fun. He's just it's someone for the kids. He's going to be here forever, too, at least conceivably.
You hope so. I mean, there's some outs in that contract that he signed with the Royals. But yeah, you absolutely hope that because like I think the first thing we thought when, you know, he turned out to be pretty good in the minors and got called up so early is, oh, well, you know, let's enjoy the service time contract he has, and then he'll go play for one of the bigger markets who can pay him much more. But, you know, I'll say this, man, like, I think you have to give Sherman his flowers for going out there and kind of taking a risk there and signing the kind of deal that they needed to get that to get done.
Knowing
with Bobby
the minute
there.
You drafted him, you're going to pay him.
Right, exactly. Because, like, I mean, I think a lot of people underestimate how hard it is to put those kind of financials on the table there for a team in this kind of a market. So it's a risk, but you know, here's the thing is they can't afford to miss. Like, there's some other teams out there and some bigger markets that can afford to miss on
cash
a contract.
Cash is Band-Aids.
Like, the Yankees can afford to miss on that. The Dodgers miss on contracts like that every now and then. It doesn't kill them.
They can't miss.
The Royals
can't.
Just
like Omar Infante, that contract hurt them back in the day.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't hurt them that bad. It wasn't crazy.
But it's not like the Angels that can sit there and pay Josh Hamilton all that money just to go away.
Right, exactly.
Or the Red Sox paying Pablo Sandoval to go away.
Right. I mean, like I said, the Omar's contract, it wasn't crazy bad, but, you know, it wasn't great. But, yeah. The Royals can't afford to miss on a contract like this, so I think you got to give them some credence there, a little bit of credit for going out there and making that kind of deal this early in Bobby's career.
7 o'clock hour, getting ready to come up. I went back and listened to some of Veach's comments before the draft and think, okay, what does he say? Well, he said things the last couple of years. Bring that to you. Plus, Sean Berber asked a really interesting question through our group chat, and so I want to discuss that what Sean had to say. We'll talk about that next.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.